today.
And the little champ is back again. We love a Friday morning. Boomer gets up and about, and he's doing the same thing all again today. Good morning to you, Brent.
Good morning, boys. And speaking of tips,
yes,
have we got an updated score there or no?
You currently lead the Breakfast Club.
I did not know that, Daniel.
Friday. Yes, you did.
No, well, that's not true.
It is true, Adam.
It's not true. There's an audit.
No, there's not. Audit. You second place, first loser. Just to deal with it, mate.
Please explain, Adam.
Well, I believe I have more tips than what's been published.
No, that's not true.
Really?
It's wow.
Not true. I'm happy to take the handicap because I think
there's no handicap. It's reality. And all you are at the moment is clinging on for dear life to most of the situations that you find yourself in at the Breakfast Club. The Friday face-off, you're hanging on by a thread as I'm charging. And, of course, Boomer's now overtaken the tips.
You are right. You are coming. I have got bored and probably lost focus a little bit.
Four in a row for me.
I love the confidence.
I haven't lost a putter yet. I haven't lost one. And the Friday face-off putter is up for grabs today as well. The Odyssey Red Ball putter, brand new from Odyssey, valued at $260, built specifically to address and improve two things: proper setup and proper alignment. Now, they are the most important things in putting. Check out more at odysseygolf.com. But that is the prize for the Friday face-off this week.
We need
if you
to
registered,
add,
rsn.net.au.
Daniel, we need to add that I am about four or five behind, I think. Maybe six or seven. but I am literally, I've had five draws. So I'm waiting for this goal-kicking comp. I got a text message last night saying, boys, we're on.
Yeah.
So I've brought my footy boots, got me shorts in my car, and apparently we're not doing it now. And Whitey's dressed like he's going to a wedding, so he can't do it anyway. He's got shoes and he's got... What's going on here?
It has been pushed back, and it's the first time I've had to push it back.
I feel that as soon as the goal-kicking's done, I'll be leading this competition by one or two.
Well, that's incorrect.
So I don't want to embarrass you guys and get too many in front, and then it's a no-brainer for the last 2 weeks. So I'm just trying to time it here. Can we commit, Rammer? Can we commit to something?
I was happy.
You were happy?
Rammer's been an issue all year with this commitment.
No.
He's a commitment phobe.
I even pumped up the footy last night.
Yeah. Half, you were texting last night. You were ready to go.
I think it's Whitey and Maisie out the back who have meetings.
Very disappointing is what it is. Because I'll take an unassailable lead by that stage. So it could have been all over. Probably just keeps the competition going for our punter. So that's not a bad idea, I suppose.
Worries me how high you can get your leg up these days with how sort of big that sort of midsection is now.
Sorry, what?
You can hear me loud and clear.
Sorry, what?
You can hear me.
There must be some feedback issues. Did you know getting.
I'll stay out of this
it's
one.
It's a rump now.
Did you know that Adam Ramanaskas, who is a huge Essendon man and is very well respected, people love watching him play, there's a Legends match being played tonight, an Essendon Legends match. A lot of former champions are coming back to play.
Just to give a pregame.
Back to the Essendon community. You'd think that Rammer would put up his hand and say, oh, I'll be part of that.
It's a Legends match, you said.
Well,
bang!
That's why, not a hack match. That's why I'm not playing, because Barry Young's playing.
Well, Barry's a legend.
I love Baz. He's one of my good mates.
Sort of the lower end of legend, but and you're just below him.
Terms getting thrown around too easily these days with Baz is out there.
Were you invited to play?
No.
You weren't even invited?
I think there's only six or seven players playing. It's a corporate game.
Yeah, but you could have put your hand up to play.
I would have said no anyway.
Other than Barry Young, who's one that you think, oh, what? How come you got an invite? Come on, put your mates in.
Kepler Bradley playing?
Nah.
Ariel Steinberg?
No. If you play an AFL game, you're a legend, Boomer.
Yep, okay, it's a good call.
Nice work. Now, Boomer, what have you made of the week in footy this week?
Oh, something happening over in the West. Gee whiz, that was big, wasn't it? Yeah, I don't know really what to... Do we want to talk... Do we want to continue to talk about it? Because every radio station...
About what Sean Higgins said about... Which is the broader conversation about the niggle. Now, you were on the receiving end of a lot of that through your time, and you found yourself perhaps every now and then, maybe unfortunately and maybe fortunately, in front of the tribunal for incidents. Do you think it is a legitimate part of the contest, or do you think it's just garbage and it has to go, all that sort of stuff?
Oh, I think anything above the shoulders... Punch to the face needs to get, it's a 1 week ban. No worries. Not a problem at all. We see the Sydney player Jones hit.
Yeah, Zach. Yep.
Zach Jones hit Merritt last 2 weeks ago before the ball was even bounced. Yes, he got a free kick and it wasn't a great start to Sydney. Goes to tribunal and gets a fine. Now, he punched him in the chin. I just reckon that's a week. I don't think we're going to be able to stamp out punching to the chest and arms and all that sort of stuff, because if you do, you won't have any stars playing, because Fife gets tagged and held and scrapped. If you're going to pay that, are you going to pay every single free kick that he gets done for? You can't do that. Now, I know we're talking different things. Hold of the jump is not as aggressive as a punch to the
Yeah, but it lead, one can lead to the other.
Well, what happens? If Fife gets held 30 times in a game, which I guarantee he does, by the way,
yep.
He's going to turn around and either push off, clench fish, punch to the chest off, and just gets to you and you have enough. I don't think we'll have too many guns playing our game if we stamp out every punch to the body.
Yeah, but at the same time, the free kick, if the free kick was given for holding, which is a clear free kick, we potentially don't have incidents like we did and do.
Yep.
Like, you go back to the caller that we had yesterday, Marie, I think her name was.
Yes, it was, Marie, and yes.
Any punch, pay a free kick.
100%.
Regardless of how low the grade is, if you punch somebody, it's a free kick against you.
This is what I had this argument. I played a little bit of football, so I had this argument probably half of my games. I reckon over 200 games, I said to the umpire, just pay that free kick. He elbowed me in the back.
Yeah.
Or he punched me. Or you know what the worst one is? When you're at a contest or you're standing there and your opponent comes from behind and smashes you in the back and you get the whiplash feel. Mate, one of the St Kilda boys got me, and I was 6 weeks later, my neck was still sore as anything. No free kick, no nothing, because, oh, that was okay. No, it's not okay. You get whacked so many times, you're going to do something to get back. Half, if I come and sit over next to you right now in your workplace and just start smacking you in the back, holding you, pulling your head. No, don't worry about the pulling the head thing. just grabbing your shirt, punching your arm. You're going to do something to me. Trust me. In 5 minutes, you're going to say, you know what, just move and throw a little backhander.
So then, Boomer, how fair were guys like Cameron Ling, Brett Kirk, Kane Corns, guys that were renowned as really, really good taggers, were they fair or did they hold as well?
There is... You don't mind about the holding. If they don't get caught, you're going to push the limits. It's the ones off the ball, the Crowley types, yeah, that get you before the game, just comes up and smacks you in the back with an elbow. The umpire just went, you know what? That's a free kick. I guarantee you he does not do that again, because Ross Lyon sends a message out and says, don't do that. They just kick the goal from it. That's how it needs to stop.
The interesting thing is, with what Boomer is saying, is that when the third umpire was initially... brought
that's
in.
That's what it was for.
It was actually for that sort of thing.
Well, now they got four, haven't they?
Yeah, well, at times they do. But where it was sort of like, if it's off the contest, that third umpire is essentially looking for that sort of thing to eradicate it from the game. It seems to have got away from that, and they just become part of the general umpiring.
You know what the worst thing the umpire says to you, or to your opponent? So you get hit, and the umpire comes in and says, do that again, I'm going to pay a free kick. You say, do it again, you're going to pay a free kick? What was wrong with the first one? If it's not a free kick, don't pay it. If it's a free kick, you pay it.
If it's outside the rules, it's a free kick.
And don't get me wrong, Brent. Don't get me wrong, guys. I'm definitely not saying and condoning punching people and things like that, because we're certainly not. We don't want to go down there.
All right. I want to move on to a couple other things, because we have talked about it a lot this week. The Dan Hannabury situation.
Yes.
Now, I find this intriguing, not so much whether it will or will it, whether it won't happen, but Alan Richardson speaking openly about, we'd have him at our football club next year when he's a contracted player. Is this something we're just going to have to get used to? Or is this, even though he's contracted, that's not seen as disrespectful to Sydney or disrespectful to the player? I don't know where I sit. It's just throwing it out there as a question.
We are getting to a stage, and Rammer might want to come over the top here and disagree or agree, but we are getting to a stage where it's NRL-like. I said this about 3 or 4 years ago, I said in 6 or 7 years, people will be changing clubs mid-year or announcing their change mid-year. Now, we've seen Lynch in a different circumstance because he's not playing because he's injured. He's come out with 4 games to go and said, I want to leave. Everyone knew Ablett was going to go. Everyone knew Dangerfield was going to go, but they never came out and said it, probably because they were still playing football at the time. The fact that Lynch has been injured has come out and said, I want to change. This will be the norm going forward in 2 or 3 years. Whether a player is playing or not playing, he will announce that he wants to leave. And as soon as now Lynch has done it 4 weeks out, someone will do it 6 weeks out next year, we'll get the halfway mark of the year and players will be saying, I won't be at this football club next year, I'm going to be traded.
I have no issue with what Alan Richardson said in regards to Dan Hannabury. I think that's He was asked a question about it, and his response was fine. Dan fits into that category. If it is that he's available, then absolutely we'd be interested. I think that's a fair response.
Oh, I don't like it.
Why?
Because he's under contract.
It's all right. Somebody's asked him about
it. If we look, okay, if, so, if we keep going down this path,
yeah.
Contracts are not worth the paper they're written on.
Well, they're sort of not now, are they?
They're sort of not now anyway. Well, you work a bit differently, okay. Remo, with the way you operate, and that's fine. But the whole industry
It's not a good look for the game.
Remo, I'm with you.
It's not a good look for the game with people breaking contracts.
I'm with you, by the way. Like, I'm a bit old school. Yeah. We played through that period. And I'm 100% with you, but the change in the guard is happening. It is happening. So I reckon we've got to get used to it.
But we need to shift that conversation back. Look, for mine, the way Alan maybe could have answered that question is, look, Dan's under contract, and until we know any different, we're not going to talk about that.
Well, that's what he said. If he's available, then absolutely we'd be interested. So he didn't say we've chased him. He said, if he's available, then we'd be interested. So that's
between the lines.
It's effectively the same thing as what you said.
All I'm saying is I don't like it.
Okay. Because I think it's interesting discussion, because I think we are gradually seeing the not so much the language, but the conversation change, that it is much more, I wouldn't say appropriate, but people are more comfortable to say, oh yeah, well look, you know, we'd look at him, even though he's in contract. We had a different situation yesterday where Essendon came out and had to refute claims that they were into Dane Beams and speaking to Dane Beams and his management, and actually said categorically, we have not actively pursued Dane Beams at this point, because it has been a rumour that's been circling for quite some time. So it's interesting, because each club is doing differently.
Do you believe that statement by Essendon?
Well, you take everything on face value, don't you?
Yes, yes or no.
That's a no.
I don't know. Yes, I don't know. You know what? I would be disappointed if Essendon hasn't inquired about Dane Beams, to be honest, because I would have thought that they're not doing their job properly if they haven't asked the question.
Well, you've got to be on one side of the fence. Do you think that was the right statement by Essendon? Yes or no?
I don't think they needed to comment.
Do you believe them, Rama?
Probably not. No.
Because I must admit, I don't believe anything anyone says. In,
well, the language
is the problem when it comes to contracts.
This is the problem. This is the problem that we continually have. Yeah. And this is why there's so much lie and mistruth in our game.
And the language is the important thing. Like that, they say, no, we haven't spoken to Dane Beams. No, because we've spoken to his manager.
Exactly.
But I think this is the thing, is that the fans get really upset at this time of year, because they love all the trade speculation and the discussion. But because there are so many mistruths put out there by lots of different people, and also the landscape changes from week to week on what players might or might not do, they get frustrated, because they think that when we start talking about these sorts of things, oh, it's not really happening. Because clubs will say it's not happening, but we know it is happening. So it's a really murky, unsavoury couple of months, I reckon, because people aren't telling the truth.
My issue is it always falls back on the shoulder of the player. So go back to the Dan Hanbury case. If Dan Hanbury leaves Sydney, you know, how's he viewed as a Sydney player moving forward? Oh, why did he leave our club? You know, that's shocking to do that under contract. Like, it always falls back on the player, but there's so much other stuff that's going on in the background that the player would have absolutely no idea about.
I don't necessarily agree with that. I don't think it does come back onto the player.
Absolutely.
Anywhere near with the venom that perhaps you were suggesting it does.
100% it does.
Who was the last one?
That
really got negative feedback for breaking contract.
Well, after the break, I'll let you know.
Nice work.
All right, I've got another. I know we've got to go. I want to ask Rama about Jamie Elliott, because it looks like his season is over. He's going to have hamstring surgery. How is he going? Because it's been an incredibly frustrating year for him.
Do you want me to answer it now?
Yeah, answer it now.
Half or
keep going. I'm getting abused, but keep going.
Yeah, look, he's got a low-grade strain of the hamstring, which in his last VFL game he had. He will need surgery at some stage, but it's not urgent. It's absolutely not urgent surgery. So he can have it now and completely write off his season, or he can rehab his hamstring with the thought of potentially coming back and playing towards the final series if Collingwood do make that. But he will need a form of hamstring surgery after the season's completed.
He's got no hope of playing this year, and he shouldn't.
No, probably not. But I think in his own mind, he wants to give it every possible
as
chance
a player,
that he
of course
can.
You do. Yeah, but you would do. His form suggest
that
he...
his form was okay. He played a couple of VFL games and his form was okay. He's an X-factor player. Look, it's a huge risk for Collingwood to consider him.
Tell him to sit it out.
I can't. It's up to him. No, it's up to his own mindset.
You can guide him.
It's not going... It's whether he has surgery now or has surgery in 4 weeks' time, it's not going to affect his pre-season for 2019.
All right, there's the update on Jamie Elliott. Just tell him to sit out. 23 past 7. There's no point, seriously. We'll get to Friday Night Footy after this. Essendon secured tonight at Etihad Stadium. We'll talk about that with Brent Harvey, the AFL Games record holder on the Friday Footy Preview.
Victoria's own Breakfast Club.
I'm really looking forward to seeing how our guys respond against a pretty good footy team. You know, the Bombers, whilst they lost last week, played well. Their recent form's been really strong. They're playing really aggressive footy, so we know it's a challenge. But, I'm looking forward to seeing how we respond.
Absolutely, it's a challenge. Alan Richardson, coach of the Saints, getting ready for Friday Night Footy. This is the Friday Footy Preview on the Breakfast Club on RSN 927. They couldn't have been more disappointing last week. The Saints, particularly through that third quarter period where they just allowed the Bulldogs to treat them like witches' hats.
15 of the last 20 goals were kicked by the Bulldogs.
That's too many if you're trying to
win a
game.
That's a lot.
That's too many. And he mentioned there, Richo, that the Bombers played very well last week. They absolutely did in that terrific encounter with the Hawks at the MCG. And as such, they have made no change for this encounter on Friday Night Football. The Saints, though... a slightly different story. In for them, Marshall, Pierce, Long, Rice, and Payton. Out go Caulfield, Clark, the two youngsters out again. I'm not sure why. Dunstan, Hickey, and Battle, who's injured, which is a bit of a setback for Josh. But again, those young fellas out. Whitey?
Well, was the question I was going to ask the three of you. Clark and Caulfield, who have certainly shown some good, encouraging signs 100%. This year. They're top 10 draft picks from last year. St Kilda can't make the finals. Aren't you depriving them of development by not playing them, or is there this selection type situation that they've got to do the right thing or they don't play?
No, I've always been a firm believer. If you're playing good enough football, you hold your spot. You don't get a game just because you're young and we need to put games into you.
That's in the era before management, general soreness and all those type of things.
It's gross, general soreness. I love it.
I agree with you on philosophically, but I don't think that happens these days because of the way that the all players are managed physically throughout a campaign, throughout
two
a season.
2 weeks ago, Hunter Clark was managed. And that was clearly stated. This time around, him and Caulfield are both says omitted.
So 2 weeks ago, and then he plays... Has he played two games? Is this the second week? Or the
second week, yeah.
So he played one game and then he's out again. Right.
Yeah.
And they got done by...
whatever.
Lots, 35 points, and the kids are copping the whack.
Yeah, which is interesting. Again. Well, which is interesting.
It's not just disposals. Caulfield had 10, Clark had 20. Mm. I don't know.
20.
I just think it's interesting.
Yeah, so do I, Roddy. And they might be going outside the game plan. There might be a valid excuse for it. So that, and that's fine. It's just if they're just choosing not to play these young guys, and I'm with you, I think Caulfield has played some decent football this year. Clark's had 20 possessions. Now, he's probably had 15 more than a lot of players on St Kilda's list last week. And I tend to agree. They can't make finals. They probably should be getting games. And Rammer's right. I'm not a massive fan of... your age, who cares about your age? If you're playing decent football, you play. But what are you smirking at and laughing
coming
at over
from
there?
You at 62 years of age.
But I feel where St Kilda are at right now, I think those two boys should be in the team ahead of some other players, to be honest
with
you.
Well, the other interesting one is Luke Dunstan, who's sort of been in and around their leadership group now for quite a while, that he's out of the team. Now, he had 23 disposals on the weekend. But again, I mean, Rammer, he was one of those players that was a top 20 pick and was meant to be elevating himself into that real, top echelon, at least at St Kilda.
Well, he was given Lenny Hayes' number, so there was obviously high expectations for Luke.
But the likes of Dunstan, Nunes, Akers, they were meant to be the next core of not only leaders of the football club, but their best players.
I tell you what, they're going to have to do some work in this draft period or trade period.
Well,
Rammer.
I think
got
clearly
one pick in the first 60. St Kilda.
50. I think 58 is their next pick or something, isn't it? It's unbelievable.
You got to get creative. You've got future picks to use and how you use them. So I think St Kilda.
But
But how do they get top end talent in there if they've got pick four? Do they need to?
They could split that pick. You know, there's a lot of things they could do.
So give four away for 7 and 12 or something like that. Whether someone's going to do that.
Well, that whole thing about the Hanbury discussion. It's great that they want him. Whether he's the right age demographic is debatable. But how do they make it happen when, you know, as Harv said, they've got one pick inside 50?
How's his footy going, Hanbury? Does it warrant?
He's been injured in the last 12 months, Hannes.
It's a long time to be injured, isn't it?
Hip. Well, he's only 27.
So
he's got a lot of good football ahead of him.
Well, he's gone from almost being impossible to get at the trade to being possible because of his injuries.
Well, because of his form.
Three-time All-Australian.
If you're injured and you're playing, you're still playing.
Yeah.
That's right.
So he went from, three-time All-Australian. What I'm getting at, he was a genuine star of the competition, like one of the best.
Absolutely.
When he was up and running, and I haven't seen that for a while now.
Do you think he could get back to that?
I don't know if he can get back to that. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
To that form, which was so high. He has to get back playing some unbelievable... You understand the level he was at. Like, he was untaggable. He was just a freak.
Yeah.
He's running at capacity. I don't know if he can get back to that threshold.
He is manic in his preparation, Dan. He'll get back there.
I hope he does, by the way.
Because there's going to be clubs that are going to go, oh, we can fix it. We can fix the injury issues. We're getting him into a new environment. Someone will take a massive risk on him and offer a lot more than what St Kilda can offer.
For Hanbury?
Yeah. Because they've got the artillery to do it.
He's in contract, says Rammer. He won't be going anywhere. That's the way. So if we talk about the bigger picture of the game, if you were coaching against Essendon at the moment, Rami, you watch them closely. What would you instruct Alan Richardson to do tonight to play against Essendon the way they're playing?
Watch what Hawthorne did last week on two occasions. Essendon kicked the first three goals of the first quarter and the second quarter, and it looked like Essendon were going to run away with the game and win by 10 goals. Now, I thought it was an absolute coaching masterclass from Alistair Clarkson on Saturday, just to be able to slow Essendon down and then peg that margin back pretty quickly. But speaking with a few of the Hawthorn players today, that actually came from the leaders out on the ground, that whereas they just held the ball and made Essendon wait, Essendon want to play a fast tempo. They want to play an up-tempo game, and that really, in the end, Hawthorn were able to just to roll over the line by just slowing Essendon down for periods of the game. That's all it took.
I don't know if it's Alistair Clarkson's coaching or it's the leaders at Hawthorn. They are the best team in the competition of changing...
Momentum in games.
Yeah, momentum or the style of game, whether they just start lowering their eyes inside 50 or they bomb it longer, or I don't know what it is, but they're the best team in the competition at it.
How important is it, guys, that Essendon finishes the season well? They're not going to make the finals, but how important is it that they attack these next 3 weeks? They've got St Kilda, Richmond, and they finish with Port Adelaide. They're all Friday night games.
Momentum going into 2019 pre-season for Essendon is crucial. They'll get Joe Danaher, obviously, back next year, so there's their big key forward back. They may be able to get somebody through a trade or free agency, but momentum going into a new season. If you have heavy defeats at the end of a season, or defeats albeit, the mindset of the players going back into pre-season, Boomer, it's like, are we any good?
Yeah, and the other thing it does too, if they are trying to attract a decent player at their football club, they look at the ladder position, they say, Essendon finished 9th or 10th, one game out. I could actually be fair difference here. Or, when they finish 16th, they're going to be struggling next year. I don't really want to go there.
That's why I sort of mentioned that. You know, the next three games, Friday night footy, big stage. It's almost like, it's not a job.
If they won all three and things went right for them, can they still sneak in?
Yeah, they can. But
a lot needs to go right.
Mathematical.
As an advertising campaign, it's very important.
Is
what correct. I would say. I don't think anyone's tipping St Kilda tonight, are they?
No.
No, not me.
Right, okay, just good.
You taking the Saints?
No.
Are you going to play this game again?
No.
Remember that stupid time a few weeks ago where I almost tipped St Kilda to beat Richmond?
No, I did think at the time it would be a bit closer than it ended up, but not tonight. A Bombers to win that one. Friday night footy, around 21 kicks off at Eddie Head tonight. Check your local guides. After the break, we'll go through a few more of the key matchups, the key games in round 21 with Brent Harvey, the AFL Games record holder, on the Friday footy preview.
Across this sporting state, RSN 927's Breakfast Club.
We know we have to keep winning to play finals, and we know they have to keep winning to stay in contention as well. So, you know, that's a given. And most of the players, we know that, we understand it. And, you know, that's just shows how much there is on the line this week.
Sean Burgoyne there from the Hawks, game number 714 coming up for him tomorrow at the MCG in an elimination final, it's being called, Hawthorn and Geelong. 1:45, almost the traditional time slot between two great rivals.
Awesome game.
It should be an awesome game, like it was this time, or that time last week with Hawthorn and Essendon. Connor Nash comes in from Ireland for his debut game for Brendan Whitecross, who's unwell. And for the Cats, there's been a lot of changes for the Cats. Stewart, some handy ones too. Parsons, Narkle, Stanley and O'Connor come in for Thurlow, Jones, Cunico, Abbott and Bew. Sam Menegola plays game number 50 for the Cats, who are $1.60 favourites in this encounter. Rammer, that seems a bit unders for my liking, but like someone was saying through the, it might have been Cam Mooney, this is an elimination final. Both teams become very, very vulnerable if the points don't go in their bank.
Oh, no doubt. And look, I've stopped trying to figure out Geelong now. I can't work them out. I think they should be, you know, they're sitting outside the eight with three rounds of football to go, and I think they should be in the top four with, in terms of the talent and the list, but with regard to the way they play, they wait and wait and wait. And we saw last week, Whitey, that they simply waited too long.
Oh, they drive me crazy.
Yeah. I can't figure them out.
Well, it's the conservative nature with the way that they play until they're almost like an NFL team. They wait till the last quarter. If they're behind, they start playing.
It's like a two-minute drill.
Yeah.
I'm glad you guys have said it because, again, I reckon I've said this three times this year. I look at the stats, Dangerfield 39 last week, Selwood 37, Kelly 36 in a goal, who was unbelievable, by the way. Duncan 33, Abbott had it 24 times. Their guns, if Richmond's guns do that, if Martin, Cochin and Lambert do that, they win by 12 goals. But Geelong just, their bottom six, just Thurlow and these type of guys, they're just struggling at the minute. And why can't they win when their guns play so well?
Well, I think they're much more strengthened this week. Look at some of those bottom six are out or been omitted for this game. You bring in Stewart and Stanley.
Abbott was actually a little bit stiff to go. He kicked a couple of nice goals.
Yeah, I thought he was okay.
For a big guy, I thought he did well.
Yeah.
But clearly, there's been a decision made by the match committee to go with a few more seasoned campaigners for this clash tomorrow.
It seems to me, and this is just an observation, and I throw it out there with Geelong, is that it's like they fear losing rather than daring to win. It's almost
tomorrow,
like,
or just in general?
No, just in general, that it's almost like...
That's the part you're saying, waiting
for
the last quarter.
They're not prepared to really put it on the line early.
Yeah,
they want to stay in the game and then have a crack in the last quarter,
like,
but they want to be in the game.
Conserving energy sort of thing.
And it's weird. It's I've never seen anything like it.
Have you seen Dangerfield play? Like, I watched Geelong live a couple of times this year. He sort of... He's the one that does that. Superstar, by the way. But he plays, and then he just starts diving on the ball when it's the last quarter. There's 15 minutes to go. He dives on the ball and gets six extra possessions just because his willpower gets him to the contest, gets him to the ground. He's stronger than everyone else, stands up, handballs out, and Geelong are going all right again. But that's sort of what we're talking about, isn't it? Just waiting.
If you got Dangerfield, Menzel, and Hawkins in your forward line, wouldn't you want to get it in there really quick?
Absolutely. So a question to you, Boomer. You talk about those guys at the top of the stat sheet, obviously getting their numbers. Whose responsibility is it? Is it the superstar's responsibility to bring those other players into the game? Or is it those other players have got to inject themselves more into the game?
No, I think it's the latter. I think the young guys have got to stay, or maybe not even young guys. How old's Thurlow and players like that? They're youngish, but you know what I'm talking about. They're not 18 years old or 19 years old. They've been in the system now for a couple of years. I think it's their responsibility to stand up as well. Dangerfield and Selwood and Abbott, they can only do so much. And yes, you want to drag them along, but I'm sure they're doing that just by the standards they would set at training. What you see on game day, Rammer, and you know this, is just a small portion of what you are about as a player. What you stand for in a training and things like that, I can guarantee you 100% those guys are training the hardest and bringing everyone along with them. Yep.
See, my thoughts are now, you've touched on this probably for the last month, about these guys being at the top of the stat sheet. I think maybe they've got to try. Those guys at the top of the... And include Duncan in there as well. I think they've got to try and bring these guys into the mix more to help because it's simply they're not winning the games.
So how do you do that though? Like, what are you talking about? Bringing different people in the centre bounce?
I'm talking about handballs. I'm talking about being unselfish.
You speak about handballs, and it was Ablett and Dangerfield. Did you see the one where they're running through the middle of the ground? They just gave that 30-centimetre handball. That's why I don't get carried away too much with the stats. And I know I did read out the stats because they're having so much of the ball. But there is a reason why players have so much of the ball. Because that ball just needed to go in, like Whitey said. They were running through the middle of the ground, kicked the ball into Hawkins, who has been on fire. No, they created another handball, turnover. I think they actually scored.
Yep.
I think Richmond scored on that occasion. So we do get carried away with stats, but I think those bottom guys have got to step up a little bit more. And they have. They've introduced Kelly this year to go through the middle, and that pushes one of them out. Duncan's
been brilliant.
Yeah, he's an unbelievable player. I love him. Duncan has been in the centre square when he's playing. So I think they do share the workload a little bit.
Stand by. Tony's in Geelong, wants to talk about the Cats. G'day, Tone.
Yeah, Daniel. I think all the coaches say that Chris Scott's the hardest coach to coach against. And I think it's because he identifies the strengths of the opposition and he nullifies them. But instead of trying to go out there and win the game, like the old Geelong that used to go down the highway, as Kingy said, we seem to drive around the bush tracks and up the dirt roads. Mm. And when they get on the highway, when they're four or five goals down in last quarters and they pin their ears back, they're either just getting over the line or they're just falling short. So surely when you've got Hawkins and Menzel in the forward line, you're trying to get in as quick as you can with that midfield through the middle as often as you can, because you want to try barrack for them. It's so frustrating with the talent they've got. And they're talking about giving him an extension of 2 years. Well, I wouldn't worry about the extension of 2 years on his contract till the end of next year. With a result. Without a result this year or next year, seriously, I don't know what he's achieved other than what he's done in his first year.
Well, they were a bit more bold and daring last week. Whether or not that was a plan just to combat Richmond or whether or not that was a new system
that
they want to employ.
But even in that game half, that wasn't for large portions of the match.
No, but again, this you can't go from so far one end of a plan to the other end straight away in one game. You can't do it like that. It doesn't work like that. So you have to phase it through. I think if that's what they want to do, that's what they're trying to change to, then they implemented it pretty well last week against clearly the best team in the competition. If that develops again tomorrow, they add another couple of layers and more periods of trying to do that, then I'd be impressed. I would like to see that from Geelong tomorrow. And I think that would absolutely put the wind up Hawthorn, to be honest with you.
So it's funny that Geelong have won 3 of their last 7.
Yeah.
And now 2 of those losses were against Richmond, but had Zach Tui not kicked that goal, it would have been 2 of 8. 2 of 8. No, 2 of 7.
Yeah.
Who wins? Whitey?
He laughs.
Well, because I'm going to do it again. Geelong.
You've been potting up for 7 minutes.
I know.
Really?
Because I believe in them.
Really?
Boomer?
Yeah, it's a good question, Daniel. Can we come back to me?
Rammer.
I'm going to pick Geelong.
Oh, God.
Right? I'll tell you why.
No, because, don't
because
tell
Chris
me why.
Scott won't make the same mistake as John Worsfold, and Scott Selwood will go to Tom Mitchell, and he won't have 29 possessions and 10 clearances in the first half.
Righto, Boomer.
Oh, I think Rammer makes a really good point. I'm going to go with Geelong as well.
Is that a defensive tip?
No, it wasn't a defensive tip. I'm leading by one. I don't need to be defensive. No, I just kick the goals when I see him.
You won't be for long, because I'm tipping Hawthorn. They'll win the game. Righto. Let's get to Melbourne and Sydney on Sunday at the MCG. Ripping game this one. Kent, Hannan, Pettersson, Wiedemann and Hunt come into the extended squad for the Ds. Smith goes out injured, Joel. And for the Swans, into the squad, Cameron, Hannanbury, Rowan and Towers. Melbourne last week very, very good against the Gold Coast. Sydney hanging on by a thread, and another team that's hanging on by a thread inside the 8, Rammer.
Here it is for Melbourne. It's right in front of them. Sydney, you're right. They are hanging on by the absolute skin of their teeth. So if Buddy Franklin doesn't play last week, Sydney simply don't win. So you shut down Franklin, I think, for Melbourne, and they'll comfortably win this game because they do lack those goal kickers. Now, this is the game for Melbourne to say, okay, we are legitimate. We are making the finals this year, and we're not letting anybody stand in our way. So at their home ground, perfect time, 3:30 on a Sunday, MCG. There's no excuse whatsoever for Melbourne this week. So I'm tipping the Ds, and unfortunately, I don't think Sydney can hang on any longer.
10 goal kickers last week, the Demons. saying that, it was a training run.
Yeah, it was a training run.
You know, 2 metre Peter went down in the first kick of the day, I think it was, or the second, took a little mark and didn't make the distance from about 40 out because he had a sore leg and goes off. And that was the game. I mean, Gold Coast, let's face it, they really struggled last week. And Melbourne played well, but they played well against a poor opposition. But 10 goal kickers says enough to me that their midfielders are working hard. Now, these names in the midfield now, Oliver's had a sensational year. Brayshaw's stepped up. Gorn's the best ruckman in the competition. Jones, Petrarca, these type of guys. I think they're starting to build a really, really good and deep midfield where other players can go through it. And I reckon they're nearly a threat. I like Ken as a player. I like him as an in. Harms is kicking goals. Spargo's playing a role. Garlett come in and worked really hard last week, which I like because I haven't really seen that from him for a long time. I think Melbourne are going to be a bit of a threat this year and they'll beat the Sydney Swans.
Can Melbourne win the premiership?
Oh, I think, Whitey, I think they're 12 months away. I really do. I think if they can build on this next year, they can be a massive threat, not just a threat.
I'll keep asking. I ask every week. I'm just not sure. I think they might be able to, but I'm a bit like you. I think they might be 12 weeks away. Hey, half since.
12 weeks? Not 12 months. AFLX competition.
Yeah, that's right.
Hey, won that last year.
Since the bye for Sydney, which was in round 14, they went to the bye having won 6 in a row. Since the bye, they've gone 2 from 6, and their wins were against North Melbourne by 6 points and Collingwood by 2 points. They're struggling.
They're absolutely struggling.
And whereas you look at Melbourne and their form line, they haven't beaten a lot, but they have won 4 of their last 5, and their loss was to the Cats by 2 points down the highway. I just think Melbourne wins and wins easily. I think Sydney are gone.
Melbourne will win. I point out that West Coast. I want to do that quickly before the break. Howard, Gray, Johnson come in for the power. Bonner, Pepper, and Homsch go out. Some big outs there. And for West Coast, had a busy week. Archie and Sheed come in for Schofield and Andrew Gaff, who is not playing for the next little while. Again, another game that's got a fair bit riding on it. We talk about contenders. West Coast sitting in second and Port Adelaide hanging on by percentage and a game in seventh, Boomer. At the Adelaide Oval, and considering the week that's been for West Coast, what do you see happening here?
Are we elaborating on this or are we just sort of going a little bit semi-quick?
A little bit semi.
Okay.
A little bit
semi. Just the 3 outs too, all omitted, by the way. No injuries there. So he's seen that they need some changes and he's making them. He's a pretty ruthless coach, Kenny Hinckley. Gaff out, huge, and he must be injured, is he? Gaff injured? Yeah. And Kennedy out as well. I don't think West Coast can beat Port. I think Port, I know they've been inconsistent, but they only just lost last week. I still think they play a brand of football that can challenge the best in the last couple of weeks in September. I'm going to stick with them. I think with the ruckman Paddy Ryder in, they're a much better team. Wines is a star. Pollack, whether he stays or not, he's getting some outside run and kicking the ball inside 50 for him. Nice rammer. And I think Port get the job done. No worries against the Eagles without Gaff and Kennedy.
When you go into state, you need your best players playing. Without Kennedy and without Andrew Gaff, it makes it very, very difficult for West Coast for mine. So I'm taking Port Adelaide.
I think Rammer makes a good point. You're only going to go back to that game against North Melbourne down in Hobart where Shuey didn't play. They obviously didn't have Nat Nui. There was a couple of odds missing.
I picked them.
They have won 4 of their last 5, but to go to the Adelaide Oval with, I would almost say Port Adelaide season is almost on the line in this game. But to do that without Kennedy, Gaff, and Nat Nui, it's all on Port Adelaide for me. It's a bit of a free hit for West Coast. They'd like to win, obviously. but if Port Adelaide lose, it puts them in a vulnerable position to actually stay in the finals race.
They will be out. If Geelong win and Port Adelaide lose, they're out of the 8.
Yeah. I mean, they've got Collingwood away and Essendon to finish, but this is the one that would keep them in the finals.
Good to see him sticking with Jack Watts, by the way, too.
Yep. Tipping?
No, I'm with Port, but I reckon West Coast will probably...
Oh, you can't do this again, Whitey.
No, Port.
Boomer?
Port.
Port for me as well.
It's one of those ones West Coast will win, I can tell you.
They'll be dirty after losing last week's game as well in the showdown, so they'll be bouncing back at the Adelaide Oval. All right, we'll get to a break. We'll come back with the rest of the tips in the Friday face-off. Very interesting category today. We'll find out more after this.
Welcome aboard the Breakfast Club.
Welcome back to the Friday Footy Preview. Brent Harvey, a part of the team on a Friday. The AFL Games record holder. Who are North Heidelberg playing tomorrow, Boomer?
Oh, the Slime.
Oh, the Greensboro Slime. Bar.
Second v. third tomorrow, Rammer. Get down there. Come
on. Where
at? At the kennel.
At the kennel?
At the kennel.
Righto. Okay. I'm going to get my brother to get you heavy tag.
Yeah, good.
sort of whiplash stuff in the back of the neck.
No, yeah. I will hold the jumper as well. That's what I'll do back to him.
I love it. That's a great nickname, the slime.
The slime. The green jumpers.
The green slime.
The slime.
Gold Coast, Richmond, Whitey. Who's going to win that game? Metricon 2:10 tomorrow.
just Richmond.
Boomer.
But no. Gold Coast could play. No, I don't think we have to talk about this
right,
one for too
okay.
long.
Collingwood, Brisbane, Remmer. Eddie Head tomorrow night.
Ooh, pies.
Boomer?
Collingwood. MC. Where is it? Eddie Head. Yeah, no, Eddie Head. Collingwood.
Adam?
Collingwood, but there are red lights flashing on this game.
Yeah.
I agree. Collingwood to win. Giants hosting Adelaide at the Canberra over at Monica.
Yeah, the fact that it's at Canberra, the Giants should win. They're playing well at the moment.
Boomer?
With Adam. The Giants.
Oh, I hate the outs for the Giants, but I'm going to tip them.
You've got a couple of good ins too, though.
It's true. That is true.
Yeah, that's three good ins.
Yep. North Melbourne and the Bulldogs, Etihad Stadium, Sunday, 1:10, early game. Rammer?
Kangas. Kangas for me, please.
Boomer?
Come on, the Roo boys.
Jump the Roo boys. Whitey, can the Bulldogs bounce back or go back to back?
North Melbourne.
That took some consideration.
No, I did because Bulldogs almost came out of my mouth, but North Melbourne.
No, North Melbourne are a good team. They'll be fine. And Fremantle hosting Carlton at Perth State, Optus Stadium on Sunday. Whitey?
Fremantle at home.
Boomer?
Fremantle at home.
Only just. I'll take Freo. Only just.
Only just.
I'm taking Freo as well. Only just. I'm with you. Don't think there's too much in it. Righto, let's get to the Friday face-off. For this week, of course, all of our contestants are playing for the brand new Odyssey Red Ball putter, valued at $260. Proper setup and a proper alignment is the key to this putter. It is unbelievable what it does with the white hot RX insert. You'll love it. To find out more, go to odysseygolf.com. Now, the category for tonight's Friday night game is just total disposal, just to give you blokes a chance, because I'm actually bored of winning. And you blokes need to do something about it. So I'm going to give you a chance with total disposals. Rammer, you get first crack.
I'm with Jim Hickman from Burwood East. We are going to take...
I know who he's going with here. So obvious.
What about the reverse psychology of it? Trying to just get into your head.
We are going to take David Zaharakis.
No.
See, this is Rammer's problem.
Be a hero, kid. A hero.
This is Rammer's great problem and why he's so poor at
doing
this.
Doing Rammer.
Overthinks it.
I was actually going to go Zaka as well.
Zaharakis for Jim Hickman from Burwood East. He's going to have a crap Friday night.
Have a couple of beers, Jim. We'll be right.
Why do you get second pick of the draft?
Rowan Lewis from Double Bay in WA.
Oh, nice work, Rowan.
We are with Zach Merritt.
This is me first, too.
He's going to get 10.
Why am I third? I'm coming last.
No, you were the second. You won 5 weeks ago.
All right.
Since I've been rolling on.
All right. Who are they playing? St Kilda. I just got to do some quick stats here. I'm just going to go with the...
Oh, he's rattled here.
You know what? I think Jack Stephen is going to have a massive game. I think he's going to have a massive game. And as I moved his water bottle so I can see a screen, I am playing for Susan Lawson from Sunbury.
So you're taking Jack Stephen?
And we're going Jack Stephen.
We see now why Rammer and Boomer are right down the bottom.
Slightly annoyed by that.
They're right off here.
I would have gone Jack Stephen. He doesn't get tagged. He'll get a lot of possessions tonight. And he's averaged 34.5 against the Bombers' last four games.
Essendon don't tend to sort of put much focus on the opposition.
Jeez. Oh,
but that's why he gets a lot. That's a good selection from Brent.
Thank you.
Righto. So if that means I am playing for Spiro Zwas. Zwas? Zois? Zwas? I'm not sure. It's one of those OI words. Could be a wah. Spiro. From Murrumbina. Apologies if I've got it wrong, but Spiro Zois or Zwas? I'm not quite sure.
Zois sauce.
Not Zoi. Zwas. A Z. Spiro, you and I will be barracking for our main man, Dyson Hebel, to get the most possessions tonight.
So Seb Ross goes untaken.
Yep. At Etihad Stadium. So well, good luck to all of our contestants. The prize is worth winning. The $260 Odyssey Red Ball putter. If you haven't registered, go straight to the website rsn.net.au. Whitey and the Quinny Multi. Quinny's Multi for you is Essendon, Richmond 40+, Collingwood, the Giants, and Fremantle head-to-head for a $3.70 investment for Nick Quinn.
I'm going a bit conservative because I was terrible last week going with the disposal. So I'm going Essendon over 15.5 tonight. into Melbourne and the Giants just to win, and that gets me $2.95. It's a pretty boring multi this week.
Very boring. Wouldn't bother.